Morning, everybody. Let's start with prayer. Our God and Father, we're here this morning, Lord. We want to worship you. We love you and we thank you for all you do. Lord, we especially thank you for this beautiful day you've given us today. Father God, as we get ready to read from your word, I ask that you would minister through me. Father, let everyone here get something out of this message that they can use in the days to come, years to come. Let it be something that'll draw them closer to you. Father, we just love you and we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here and do this. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the Beatitudes today. That's probably a word a lot of you have heard. But just like me, you know, we read words, and a lot of times we think we know what they mean, but we don't really know what they mean. So I always like going to the dictionary and looking up what they really do mean. Beatitudes is a word used of declarations of Jesus as he was giving the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, Jesus was talking to a whole bunch of people, and some of the declarations that he made, they call the Beatitudes. What does it actually mean? It's a declaration of blessedness, is what the dictionary says. Well, that's cool, but what is blessed? What is being blessed? What does that truly mean? I mean, you always hear that, you know, God bless you. What does it truly mean? Well, one of the, you know, the dictionary always gives, you know, different meanings, you know, because words don't always get used the same every time. But the one that I like the best, it says the ultimate well-being and distinctive spiritual joy of those who share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. Distinctive spiritual joy. I don't know that we always have that. So when you tell somebody, God bless you, and do you truly mean that? I don't know that I've always meant that. I think a lot of times we just say it by, like we say, how are you doing? You know, we'll say it and just keep right on walking. How you doing? And I think we say God bless you the same way sometime. So as we read the Beatitudes, I just want you to remember what it truly means. So let's start with the first one. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Does that mean that the people that aren't spiritual at all, that those are the ones that are truly blessed? I think it's actually trying to do a comparison. I think it's talking about the spiritually proud. In comparison to them, the poor in spirit, the ones that know they're lacking, that's the ones that are blessed. I mean, you always see the, you know, a lot of us call them holy rollers and stuff, you know, the ones that walk around like, you know, well, like the Pharisees did back in the old days. You know, they made everybody believe they were really it. And that's not what Jesus is looking for. What he's looking for is people that are poor in spirit. That's the ones that he's looking for. And he goes on and says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. See, and that kind of goes along with that first one that we read. What are we mourning? Are we mourning people that we lost? Of course, that's one of the meanings. You know, God will bless us when we're mourning someone that we lost. But we're also mourning our shortcomings. You know, realizing that we're not there yet. And coming to God going, man, I know I'm not there. I want to be, but I'm not. And that's the kind of people that God wants to bless. Because we're humble. It goes on, it says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Well, that meekness, that doesn't mean you walk around like a wimp, like some people think. You know, you see people that are like, oh, I'm a Christian, so no, I can't do nothing. I can't stand up for myself. That's not what he's talking about. It's when it talks about meekness, it talks about humility before God. You know, going in front of God and admitting that, you know, I messed up again. It don't do any good to lie to God. He already knows what we did anyway. So we might as well just say, hey, I messed up again. You remember what I said yesterday I wasn't going to do again? But guess what? I just did it again. Which he already knew it anyway, but we tried to make ourselves look good in front of God, and it doesn't really do any good because he knows it anyway. So what he's looking for is somebody that's humble and comes in front of him and says, you know, I messed up. I wish I didn't. I wish it didn't happen every day or every other day or every third day. I had a friend who was an alcoholic. Well, I was a borderline alcoholic at one time, but this poor guy, I mean, he was a full-fledged alcoholic. He come to know Christ. Well, everything was great. I mean, he started following Jesus. Everything's good. But every now and again, he'd slip and he'd fall down. He'd fall off the wagon. Now, should he have? Of course not. Do you think God had a problem with that? Yeah. But do you think God forgave him every time he fell off the wagon? Yeah. This guy, he wanted to do his best. He didn't want to drink anymore. But he's just a regular person, just like the rest of us. And every now and again, he'd mess up. But see, that's where you go humbly before God and go, God, I messed up again, man. I am truly sorry. And God says, no problem. His mercies are new every morning. That's the awesome part. You know, we mess up and he forgives us. But it's not, as what I call, it's not a license to mess up. You know, some churches lead you to believe, and I'm not picking on the Catholics. I'm sorry if you're Catholic. But, you know, I have known some Catholic people that are awesome in their faith. I mean, really good people. There's a lot of Catholics going to be in heaven, so don't get me wrong. But I know a lot of Catholics think you just go to confession every Sunday and you're okay. The rest of the week, you can do whatever you want to do. Well, that ain't really what it's talking about when we're talking about being humble and coming before God. It's not a license to go do whatever you want to do. But we'll go on. You know, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, that's an awesome promise. You know, a lot of times we don't seem to know where God is at. You know, there's times where you feel really, really close to God, and then there's other times you just wonder where the heck he went. You have no idea, and you're like, wow, where did you go? But this promise right here. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. They will be filled. So if we hunger and thirst for it, and if we read our Bible, and if we come before him, we are going to find him. Sometimes he kind of stands in the shadows because he wants us to grow. You know, just like when your kid starts to walk and he takes three steps and falls down. You pick him up and he takes three more steps. Well, if you stood right there and helped him every second, he'd never walk. And God does the same thing with us. Sometimes he has to kind of step back and let us do kind of mess up a little bit to where we get stronger and we get closer to him. The next one is, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, there's an easy one. Hey, mercy, that's easy. God, forgive me. You know. But it says, blessed are the merciful. Now, that's a hard one. We're supposed to forgive others. We're supposed to show mercy. I don't know how many times I talk to people and, you know, they have a problem with somebody. And they say, well, I've forgiven them, but I just can't forget. Well, that's true. Somebody does you wrong, it's hard to forget. Odds are you'll never forget. But every time when something comes up like that, you're supposed to be merciful and forgive them. If they come and do you wrong, you're supposed to forgive them. Because then God can show you mercy. That doesn't mean we do it every time. Thank God for the forgiveness part, right? Because when we mess up, we can say, God, you know, I was supposed to do that, but I didn't, just like we talked a little bit ago. So, you know, being merciful is a lifestyle. It really is. You can take everything wrong that people do to you, or you can just say, no, I'm going to be merciful. I'm not going to hold these things against somebody. And it falls right in line with the two greatest commandments. Jesus was asked one time what the two greatest commandments are, and this is what he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That makes perfect sense. He's God. That's what we should do for God. But then the second one, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we love our neighbor as yourself, you know what? We'll be merciful. We won't hold stuff against them. So it's really pretty simple. Just treat others the same way you want to be treated. And it really works. Then it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Again, that one, you know, it's pretty basic. The pure in heart. I mean, what is pure in heart? Just means you are who you say you are. You're not a conniver. You're not a cheat. You're not one of them that, you know, puts on this false front, walks around, you know, I'm holier than thou when I do this and do that. That doesn't work. He doesn't want them. He wants the pure in heart. He wants the ones that really mean it. And most everybody here does. But every now and again, you run into somebody that doesn't, you know, and that's the ones that he's talking about here. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. I can see that. God wants us, you know, if people are fighting, if we have friends that are fighting, he wants us to be a peacemaker. He wants us to help them. So what does it say in Romans? Let's read in Romans how it kind of addresses that a little bit. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Well, if somebody lets air out of your tires, don't go cut his. You know, that's not quite, that's kind of getting even. That's exactly what it says not to do. But it says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And right here is one that you need to remember. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So even the Bible knows you ain't going to be able to live at peace with just everybody. But you should give it your best effort. And if we do that, we did what God asked us to do. But I mean, there are some people, I mean, we've all worked with them. You get this one guy or this one lady that just, they're pain. There ain't no other way to say it. And no matter how hard you try to get along with them, they just don't want to get along. Well, ain't nothing you can do about it. Just turn around and say, okay, that's just the way it is here. But I was trying to be a peacemaker. I tried to make peace with that person, but they just don't want to. That's all you have to do. You just try. And it goes on. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You run into that everywhere nowadays. I get so sick and tired of hearing that the chaplains in the military aren't supposed to pray in the name of Jesus anymore. I mean, people get persecuted all over. We got it easy here, man. We can say whatever we want. Jerry lets me say whatever I want here. That's pretty awesome. It's his property. The chaplains in the military, they don't have that anymore. They're supposed to just say, amen. You know, you're supposed to be able to pray to any... It's supposed to be politically correct, I guess, is the way they put it nowadays. Well, that's persecution. You go to some of them countries, you know, I mean, people actually get locked up. China, there's people get locked up for their faith. That's persecution. Well, the Beatitudes say, you know, if I can find where it reads it, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Ain't that awesome? And then he goes on and says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So it's saying, don't worry about it. That don't mean it's fun. That don't mean you're going to walk around with a smile on your face going, all right, I'm being persecuted. No, don't mean that at all. It just means that God will look out for you. He will look out for you through that. And you will be blessed because of it, which is great. I mean, I think it's awesome to have someone that'll do that for us. And it's just coming right here and sitting down and listening to this. You know, there's a lot of places where people would make fun of you because you're sitting here today. Takes courage to do that, and I'm glad to see y'all got it. And guess what? You'll be blessed for it. Ain't that awesome? I think it is. So in conclusion, what do we do with the Beatitudes? I mean, what is it? Well, I think it shows us a lifestyle. It shows us the lifestyle that God wants us to live. And if we live that lifestyle, usually if we do, as kids, usually when we did what our dad said, things went better, you know, things were good for us. Well, same thing with God. If we do what God says, things are usually better. And I think that's how the Beatitudes are. You know, it sounds, some of it sounds almost like rules and regulations. Well, they are kind of rules. They're a handbook kind of saying, you know, if you do this, this will happen. So that's great. And God is showing us the lifestyle he would like us to live. So let's go back just one more time, read what the dictionary said the Beatitudes were. It said they are set forth qualities and experiences that are combined in the ideal character. Or if we could be like that, we would be just almost perfect. Well, let's take that home with us. I don't know which one of those that you want to work on, but just pick one of the Beatitudes that you're having trouble with and go, you know, I'm going to work on that one. And then after you work on that one, you might pick up your Bible and you get another one. If you forget what the Beatitudes are, hey, guess what? We got a new thing we're doing. We're posting our sermons on the internet. We've always done it in writing, but now they're up there in MP3 format. If you go to my website, go to 2007, what we're doing here right now will be posted there in a week or two. And you can actually listen to it again, and you can remind yourself, okay, the next Beatitude was this one. Or I could be real nice to you. I could give you the scripture, too. And it is Matthew 5:3-11. So if you can remember that, you can go there and read it. If you don't remember it, you can go there and listen to it again. So we're trying to come up with ways to make things easier for everybody. Because that's what makes life better. If we can't make it easier, now what's the sense in doing this? So, as we get ready to say our closing prayer, like I said, pick you that one Beatitude you want to work on. And I guarantee you things in that area get better, and then keep working forward just like we said. So let's pray. Father God, we just love you. Lord, your directions aren't always easy. And we don't always want to do it. A lot of times it's not natural for us to do it. We all have different characters and different styles. And some things are easy, some are hard. Lord, I ask that you empower each person here to be able to remember one of these Beatitudes, start working on it, and receive the blessedness that you promised because of it. Lord, we all want to be blessed because we know how awesome it is to be in your presence. There's nothing more awesome to be up on the mountain with you, and we just thank you for that. Father God, I just ask that you would be with us this day. Help us have a safe race. Let no one get hurt. Just let us have a good time. And just remember, this is your day, and do it all for your glory. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a handful of New Testament Bibles laying there and another little book. Anybody wants one, grab one. Thanks for coming.